Good morning and welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show. Woohoo! Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken that yawning consciousness.
We all see you out there doing it.
I know.
Come on now. Smack around a little bit. It's wakey-wakey.
Yeah, wakey-wakey. I had one of those nights where I woke up at like 3 a.m. and then couldn't go back to sleep and then went back to sleep and then overslept.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know how that is. Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people have been there.
And then it's raining and the buses are out there. Always watch out for those sweet, sweet children. I know. You have other words for them, but I think they're lovely.
Good and bad, no matter what. They're all back from spring break, so yeah.
Yeah, they are.
The kids are good to go.
They're good to go, and you're probably good to have them go. I don't know. One of those things. We have a great show today. I got a great guest, and while I'm giving her a few minutes, I'm going to give you a nice astrology report and remind you that I am the owner of Reiki Oasis, located right here in the greater Seattle area. And wow, we're going on 23, 24 years in business. Lots of wonderful things going on at Reiki Oasis. Of course, we offer wonderful Reiki training. Reiki 1 class is coming up the first Saturday in June for those of you that would like to step out on your path. And then I also, the Temple of the Divine Feminine, my monthly class with women, will not be this Saturday because this is the Easter weekend. We have moved it to the last Saturday in April, which is the 27th. And if you're interested in that class, really, we have a wonderful time. And we talk about all kinds of things, feminine. We talk about ancient mysteries. And then we also just have like what I call girl talk. And we support each other and help each other. It's really a beautiful community of women. If you'd like to be part of it, you can sign up at schedule.reikioasis.com. And you can always give me a little call or send me a little email to reikioasis@gmail.com. I'm more than happy to answer your questions regarding the monthly class. And then I have another Crystal Bowl Healing Concert coming up at Bala Yoga in Sammamish this month. And you will need to get your tickets from Bala Yoga, so don't miss out on that. And I hope you're going to have fun this weekend with your families. I hope you do Easter egg hunting. And if you go to church, you go to church. I posted a picture on my Facebook page of what we used to have to wear, you know, on Easter Sunday. It was always new hat and gloves and shoes and dresses. And that was kind of fun. And now we just almost wear our pajamas and we go anyway. So I hope you have fun. So we have, Betty's just laughing at me.
Well, I guess with the social media stuff, there's probably a lot of online versions, so you can just like stay at home and watch it all unfold too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a lot going on out there. And talking about a lot going on out there, I'm going to talk about the weekly astrology forecast because we've seen a lot of energy building up this week. My goodness, the burning of Notre Dame. Oh, my goodness. At sort of the beginning of what many people call Holy Week, or in the middle of it. And it's my understanding there was some other Buddhist temple burned somewhere, and I think there was a Muslim temple that burned somewhere. Anyway, a lot of cleansing on the planet, a lot of... reminded me of the tower card in the tarot, you know, where the tower falling, and the people are like, and they're all falling from the sky, and it's... You know, we are in this world, this realm of death and rebirth. Things do have to topple in order for new things to come. Or maybe I should say there's just a cycle to things. My guides and angels told me a long time ago that, you know, we can always focus more on what we're creating than what is needed to be destructed, because the decay process is a natural part of our life at some level. Boy, that's a big discussion. Anyway, today is Thursday, April 18th, and tomorrow, Friday, April 19th, we have a big full moon in Libra, and the moon is known as the full pink moon, and it ushers in a time of magic and rebirth. Right in alignment with what I said. It's time for everything to come to life. Once we get infused with this positive energy, we can focus on self-care and make advancements in our professional life. Yay! There will be an overall increase in our general well-being, and our relationship can become stronger now than before. And it's called the Pink Moon because of the colors of the flowers that are coming out now, the wild ground phlox that start blooming during this period. And of course, oh, the cherry blossom trees. Oh, my goodness. So beautiful. The pink moon is also known appropriately as the egg-laying moon. And since it occurs just before Easter, it conveys the message that although death is natural, life has won over it. And this is a very lucky time for all of us. So if you've been having a really hard time, exhale a little bit because it's going to start to get, I don't know if easier is the right word, but it's definitely going to be moving forward. Now, this is not only a full pink moon, but it is also known as a blue moon because it's the second full moon in Libra in a month, which is pretty rare. And if you remember, we had another full moon in Libra in March that fell on the equinox. It fell on 0 degrees of Libra, which is definitely the beginning of a portal of energy and possibility. We've been moving through that portal for a month. And tomorrow, the full moon lies at 29 degrees Libra, which is the last degree of Libra. And Libra is all about balance. So the full moon in Libra in March and the full moon of Libra in April are kind of like bookends. And in between, you might ask yourself, what feelings or emotions have been bubbling up? What things have been coming to a closure? What things need to come to a closure? And since Libra wants us to find a balance in our relationships with ourselves and with others. So if there are relationships not serving you that might have been tense or hostile, this full moon may bring that up and encourage you to cut the cords or have that difficult conversation or move into healing in the areas of relationship. And I can't think of a better day to have my guest. I was just thinking about that while I was reading my astrology report. You know, we're in a balancing time. My guest today is kind of what I call a heavy hitter. She is a dauntless explorer of inner and outer worlds. Her name is Kate Montana. She speaks, she writes, she teaches about the ego, evolutionary psychology, consciousness, quantum physics, gender archetypes, and the divine feminine. She's written several wonderful books, The E Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials, Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within. Today, we're going to talk about her latest book, Apollo and Me. And I got to tell you, if you're listening, you want to keep listening. You know, it's not unusual for women to fantasize about having a man who looks like a Greek god enter their lives, Benny. But to be smacked.
You're welcome. You're absolutely welcome.
Absolutely.
Thank you for noticing.
Right, right here in. That got his attention. But to be smacked with the reality of having the genuine article materialize right in front of you and then have him catapult you into other realities and timelines and ask you to take part in a crazy scheme to foil an evil doomsday plot hatched by one of his fellow gods? Well, my guest, Kate Montana, has written, a simply amazing book. It's called Apollo and Me, Loved by a Forgotten God Across Lifetimes. What would you do? Welcome to the show, Kate. I'm so happy to have you here.
Good morning, Loretta. It's wonderful to be on the show. And well, I love what you were saying about the balance of the Libra full moon. Oh, my God, it's so true. I can feel the energies. It's astounding.
It's astounding. And also, I'm thinking even with us approaching Easter, you know, I can't make it up when people are on my show. And I think the gods had something to do with you being on today. It's just too beautifully timed. Yeah.
Wow. And with the whole Notre Dame experience, it's like, I've just been thinking about that going into Holy Week, and it's like the rising of the universal feminine, shaking off any shackles of the past and old structures. And I don't care how beautiful and amazing they are and historic. It's like, and I've been to Notre Dame, and it's an extraordinary experience being there. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, it's kind of hard to miss the symbolism at this point, isn't it?
Well, it's sort of like knocking us over the head. You know, I've talked to several people, and of course I've been there several times and just had profound experiences there with, you know, the divine feminine and the Magdalene and the Isis energies. But, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday and she said, you know, Loretta, we don't even know how many people were burned at the stake, how many people have been there. I mean, it is such a powerful symbol of so much. And to me, it's like a point, like if you dropped a pebble in a pond and the energy ripples out, it's a ripple out effect. So, yeah, you are so, thank you, Apollo. Thank you for bringing her on the show today. I think that's right. Oh,
what a ride this has been. Talk about the last thing in the world I ever thought I would write would be a novel, let alone a romantic novel about a Greek god. As you pointed out when you introduced me, it's like my whole life has been about writing about psychology and enlightenment and spirituality and quantum physics and, you know, and let's get serious and very, very left brain about everything.
Oh, yeah. And I got to just say this, and then I just want to hear you talk, but I want to tell the listening audience that her book, Apollo and Me, it truly is a romantic novel, but very different. It is a tale, I'm just going to read here, that explodes your stale beliefs surrounding older women and sex. Yay! The relationship between the gods and man and woman, sexuality, spirituality. And you didn't write sensuality, but my goodness, it is a very sensuous book. And ultimately, the material illusion of the world itself. It's a very delightful book. I enjoyed reading it. But I do have to ask you, I mean, yes, you've written so many heavy-duty books. What?
Well, what? Yeah, exactly.
What?
Well, you know how it happened,
girlfriend,
you know how
what?
It happened, Loretta and Benny, is I was in Greece 3 years, I can't believe, 4 years ago in 2015, and I was writing the book, The E-Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. I was on deadline for with Simon & Schuster. And a friend up in Olympia, Washington, has a gorgeous house on the island of Paros. And she asked me, "Gee, Kate, would you like to come over for 3 months and finish writing your book here?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. Let me think." So I had...
Let me think. Oh, that's funny.
I had to Greece. I hadn't been there since I was 19. I'd always had a thing, Loretta, about the Greek gods, and especially about Apollo. When I first read about the Olympic gods and Greek mythology, it just so captured my young mind, and so much so that when I had an opportunity for the first time to leave the United States and go to Europe, where did I want to go first? I wanted to go to Greece, and I wanted to go to Delphi. So Delphi was actually one of the very first places I ever traveled out of the United States. So here, 40 years later, I'm back in Greece, and so I spent some time on the mainland, and I headed back to Delphi because I'd had such an extraordinary experience when I was young there. So I went back, and I, you know, did the tourist thing at the temple one day, and then the next day, I wanted to get kind of away from the crowds and have my own space. And I hiked up an old trail up above the temple complex of Apollo in Delphi. And I was up on Mount Parnassus. And the doggonest thing happened, Loretta. I'm sitting there. It's morning. I have had probably too much Greek coffee that morning. I'm sitting on the side of a cliff. I'm looking down at the temples and all the tourists down below. And I had a vision. I saw this beautiful man bounding over the rocks towards me. And he came and he sat down right next to me. And he turned to me and he said, "Hi, I'm Apollo. I have things to tell humanity. Let's talk." Yeah.
Just coffee.
So what do you do with
just Greek coffee? Just
well, you know, if you've had Greek coffee, that's
I have
enough to send you to another universe. So what do you do with that?
Wow.
I was just blown away. And, you know, it was a mental, I didn't know what it was, a hallucination. I mean, I'm not prone to visions. I've had visions, but usually they've been very gauzy, very hazy, very obviously just mental. This was just incredibly vivid. And and poof, he was gone. And so I sat there and didn't know what to do. So that kind of blew me out of my, I think I'm going to take a hike mode. And I actually just went right back down to my hotel room in Delphi and grabbed my computer and just had to write what I'd experienced down so I didn't get any details. But I couldn't get him out of my mind. And what the heck did he have to say to humanity? You know, let alone beg the question, did this really happen? You know, was I hallucinating on Greek coffee grounds or what or whatever? So, but here I am on deadline with another book, speaking of a heavy-hitting book, The E Word, all about ego psychology and evolution and enlightenment. And so I had to completely take my head in a different direction, get very left brain again, and spent the next 3 months on the island of Paros writing about that.
Wow.
But 3 days after I'd finished writing a whole freaking book, I was back right. I was channeling Apollo. I couldn't stay away. And the only way I could think to really tune in was just to remember the image, remember his face. He had the most amazing eyes, copper-colored eyes. And just tune into that energy and go, okay, Apollo, what do you have to say? And so I just started getting these hits and information, and this story just unfolded through me.
Wow.
So, you know, whether it was, you know, what is channeling anyway? Mm-hmm. It's so strange. I mean, even when I'm writing about quantum, when I'm in a book and I'll sit and I'll write for, I'll sit down at 4 o'clock in the morning and write until 10 o'clock at night with only a few breaks. And you can't do that without getting into an altered state, So, and you always know when the information, whatever you're writing, when it takes a right or a left-hand turn that you didn't see coming, you know, when information that you didn't even know you knew shows up, or you end up going someplace totally unexpected, you go, the information is taking me rather than me taking the information at that point. So that's the nut kernel for Apollo and me and how this happened.
Well, you answered my question, because one of my questions was, do you think it was a channeled work? And I agree with you. Like, when we're in the zone, you know, people have these words they use that are kind of feeble, but they're there. You know, if I'm in the zone or I'm in that creative process, I kind of think everybody's channeling at some level. And maybe that's the inspiration coming through you, or divine expressing through you, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I just want to tell the listeners, I mean, I have read the book. I actually stayed up all night to read it the other night and got into it. And it's delightful. It takes you, how do I say this? You know, you read a lot of spiritual books, but this being written as a quote-unquote novel, although part of me thinks it's more than that. I do. I honestly do. Like, there's some memory in there. You have, it's very personal books. It's a very vulnerable book for you at some level. And I applaud your courage in putting it out there, you know. But it pulls you in, and then there's these great truths that come out. And I found myself going, what did he just say? And then going back and reading, you know, like the conversations between you and Apollo, and I'd be like, what did he just say? And then I'd be like, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's bringing out so much about, I'm going to just say, the wounded feminine and the way that planet Earth has been presented to us, you know, and making us really question a lot of those things. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's exactly Apollo's whole gig, if you will, was, and I didn't know any of this, was to keep a balance of the goddess energies open when his temple arose like in 800 BC, and was the center of religious thought and philosophic thought for 1,100 years. And, I mean, all of the great emperors and generals and philosophers and Plato and Diogenes, I mean, everybody worshipped Apollo. It went to the Delphic oracle, the Pythia, and for advice that was responsible for developing the greatest republic ever, Solon's Republic, which was the foundation stone philosophically and morally, ethically, for the United States Constitution.
Oh, my goodness. So,
I know, and so I had no idea. Apollo was the bringer of light. He was the archetype of wisdom and knowledge, as well as masculine beauty, which, of course, knocks my protagonist, Catherine, for a loop.
Very much so. Very delightfully
Very
so.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And but his whole message is about gender equality and how when the goddess religion fell, that we went out of balance. Now, of course, there's this great, we've learned as in the last thousand, well, in the last 100 years, we've come back into, women have come back into power, but we've come back in a very masculine mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. We've had to, because we walked back into a very masculine created world. We walked into masculine business, masculine politics, you know, masculine economic system. We had to put our big boy pants on and, you know, go head to head with the guys, and we've been doing that. And calling that equality for the last 100 years. And we have so grown up as female, as the feminine. We have really taken on the masculine characteristics and qualities and energetics and embodied them and learned how to operate in a very left-brain, aggressive, linear, intellectual fashion.
Oh, wow,
so what women have done is we've actually become very whole. We've gone from mostly right brain function to crossing that corpus callosum and rewiring our brains for wholeness, because now we operate both out of left and right brain. And science proves that actually the corpus callosum, which is the dividing section in our brain between the two hemispheres, is very, very thickly populated with neurons, and that women operate across the corpus callosum by far more than men do. So we have now been wired to operate as a whole brain individual. And so now it's like it's time for us to step out of being so masculine and step back into more of our whole brain expression and start reintroducing feminine qualities, compassion, love, coexistence, communication, cooperation, vulnerability, sensitivity, intuition, and start operating more and more in this world from those from that more feminine perspective, empowered by everything we've learned and embodied as far as the masculine energetic qualities of gender are concerned. Wow, we are at a place of such potential. Talk about balance, Loretta. Holy Moses.
My goodness. Well, and I'm still thinking about you know, the symbology of Notre Dame burning. I'm kind of sitting here once again, like I said, with my mouth open, because you being on the show today is so providentially timed. And
yeah.
I think the message that Apollo has for us and what you bring forward in the book is, I think it's imperative right now. You know, I agree with you. Like, even I myself, you know, stepped into using the masculine side of myself in order to enter into life, you know, as a single mom, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do what you have to do.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And take care of your kids and get a job and go out there and fight the good fight. You know what I mean?
And kick ass and get it done.
Kick ass and get it done, right. You know, pull up your big girl panties and get over it, you know. Mm-hmm. Cry mm-hmm. tomorrow, right? But
yeah.
there has been a toll taken on us as a collective feminine. And, you know, you bring out so beautifully in your book in this one point, it's so poignant, with the woundedness that we all carry
oh, God.
Through lifetimes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is potent stuff.
It is. It is. This book has changed my life.
I bet it
this
has.
This book has changed my life, Loretta, mm-hmm. because I was very comfortable in my masculine. And my first solo book, Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within, I've been on a trajectory for some time to evoke the softer side of myself, the right brain side of myself, the intuitive nature, and learn to trust that. But I have been, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So, and women's liberation. And so I didn't even know how masculine I had become. I didn't know how out of touch with all things feminine I had become. And so I started on this journey over 10 years ago, and Apollo has just vaulted me into a whole nother space, because you are right. This book is autobiographical in a lot of respects, and writing about Apollo and communing with this energy took me straight nose to nose with my, oh my God, I'm going to cry, with my core feminine wound of mm-hmm. just terrible sexual and gender abuse that has been inflicted on, you know, whether it was past life memories that I wrote about, you know, that was me, my soul memories of sexual abuse and being burnt at the stake and tortured and all of the things that women have suffered, and all of the things that men have suffered, being afraid of the feminine and being afraid of that aspect in themselves, that wild, chaotic, fecund, dark void place where all of creation is birthed from the feminine. Mm-hmm. You know, the solar masculine principle for 2,000 years has tried to jam the idea that a male trinity, a male god, created all of creation, and it's laughable. And that's one of the big, I mean, that's one of the things that Apollo just couldn't wrap his mind around. Said, how can you people swallow such a ridiculous thing?
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, if the masculine is there to support the intuitive, compassionate, loving, feminine nature in all of us, in men and women.
Yes.
So, I had to face my own wounding and literally go into my epigenetic programming, the programming in my very DNA that every woman carries of incredible abuse and marginalization. And it was hard to get through. But you know, until we face how deeply wounded we are, then we stay on the surface of things and we skate along, and we just do what we do, and we don't think and go deep enough, and don't feel deep enough, and therefore we're cauterized, and we're not whole beings. We're still incapable of true expression at the deepest possible level. And you know, we can't screw around anymore in our world. We're at the tipping point where if we don't blossom and flower, our society, you know, it's I liken it to everybody's in a lifeboat. If planet Earth is a lifeboat, you know, for the longest time, whether it was a good balance or a bad balance, or whether there was gender abuse or not, which there was,
mm-hmm.
men and women have been kind of like balanced on two sides of the boat. This whole world is based on polarity. I mean, less than a millisecond after the Big Bang, the very first things created were positive and negative electromagnetic forces, positrons and electrons, the very first creation.
Mm.
And that's the foundation of this whole material world, is opposition, complementarity, masculine and feminine, right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, left, right. So, you know, for a long time we skated along and we're all in this boat together called planet Earth, and, you know, women are on the left side and men are on the right, and we're doing what we're doing. Happily or not is not the point. But now, because women have stepped into a masculine arena and we have had to adopt and learn the masculine perspective and work through that persona, that's great. It's empowering. It's necessary and needed. But now we've got most of the women and the men on the right side of the boat, on one side of the boat. And what happens when everybody's on one side of a boat, Loretta?
It tips.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and take a station break here, but You know, I just want to say that this idea that while you're talking and getting this idea that we all just need to take off those garments of that polarity, and maybe it's time for us, you know, because I stepped into this also like, oh, we're equal. We can do everything that man can do. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, right? But the point is we're not the same, but we can be complementary. And anyway, yeah, this is Loretta Brown. My guest today, Kate Montana, amazing woman. Her new book, Apollo and Me, Loved by a Forgotten God Across Lifetimes. What would you do? I would have done the same thing she did. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
New message.
Department of the Social Security Administration. The reason of this call is to inform you that your Social Security number has been suspended for suspicion of illegal activity. If you do not contact us immediately, your account will be deactivated. For more information about this case file, press 1 or call immediately our department number. 326.
This is a scam. Thieves are misusing the Social Security Administration's authority and phone schemes to trick you into giving them money or personal information. They state there is a problem with your Social Security number or account. They claim there's been suspicious or fraudulent activity, and you could be arrested or face other legal action. They even spoof SSA's main customer service telephone number on caller ID. Don't believe them. Don't provide any information. SSA employees will never threaten you for information or promise benefits in exchange for information. In those cases, the call is fraudulent. Just hang up. If you suspect you've been contacted by an SSA scammer, call the Social Security Fraud Hotline at 1-800-269-0271.
It's time that you are heard, and I don't mean in just a conversation. I mean really heard. Imagine hosting your very own radio program on Alternative Talk 1150. Talk about being heard. Call 425-653-1150 right now to learn how affordable it can be to host your own radio show. Time slots are going fast, so take hold of this chance by dialing 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show with my guest, Kate Montana, and her wonderful book, Apollo and Me. I want to remind you, these shows are archived, and we're on live YouTube. Woo-hoo, hello to everybody. And you can find him, the archives at the Loretta Brown Show archives at KKNW 1150 AM. And oh, there's all kinds of places you can find it. You can join with me on Facebook.com/The Loretta Brown Show, and I always put all the links up there so that you can download the shows, listen to them over and over again, and really, really absorb the beautiful energy. Before the break, and this is a powerful interview, and I'm going to be honest with you, it's very personal for me, too. I can feel it. And, you know, we talk about the wounded feminine. We talk about the roles that men and women have been playing. Before the break, we were talking about gender equality. And what does that mean? And, you know, Kate, how do we take off? How do we show up as a woman in today's world? I mean, I literally have conversations with my clients about this all the time. Like one woman came in the other day, she says they came and told her, they said, if you want to be taken seriously, your neckline needs to go up, and you either need to wear slacks or your skirt line goes down, right? So can you talk about political correctness, gender equality, and how do we soften?
It's a scary thing. It's a really scary thing to open up and become vulnerable and to soften, because this is a very flinty, harsh reality we've created. It's, you know, no knock in the guys, but, you know, men have a very hard-edged energy. The masculine is very linear, very structured, rule-bound, hide-bound, intellectual. It's hard. It's aggressive. That is the And that's not knocking men. That is just the masculine energetic that is complementary to the intuitive, soft, boundary-less, multitasking, intuitive, compassionate, vulnerable, open receptivity of the feminine nature, which, and I'm talking gender dynamics, I'm talking qualitative aspects of the divine masculine and the divine feminine that show up as male and female. And so we've gotten so locked into the hard place and of being masculine because, hey, you know, the guys rule, and if you want to do it, you got to do it their way. Mm-hmm. And wow, being soft in that environment, well, you're immediately marginalized.
Right.
And so you risk everything being soft in this environment. And so everybody's afraid to put down the glove. And but if we don't put down the glove, if and women have to lead in this, because women have to lead men at this point. Not, you know, there's this huge, you know, feminist drive. Yes, it's time for women to take over and kick the butts of the men and you know, and rule over the men. And it's like, no. We've had rule over. Ruling over others is the masculine path. So it's so amusing to me and sad to hear. I know a friend of mine went to go to a big women's organization talk, and Catherine Spiller, who's the editor of Ms. Magazine, was the keynote speaker. And she said she was horrified because this woman got up and just was, she was wearing pants and she was very aggressive, and she was talking about, again, kicking male butt and taking the lead and, you know, taking names and power over. And she walked away so dismayed because it was an old feminist energetic that we needed 50 years ago to break the gates down to get into the offices to be able to even approach the glass ceiling. Right. And she said, and that's not the energy that's going to work anymore. That's everybody on one side of the boat, and the boat's about to capsize in this aggressive flood of energy of masculinity. And so, wow, Loretta, to put down the arms, put down the gloves at this point is what's necessary, and the women have got to lead in that. And that's what Apollo told me very, very clearly, that it's time for women to lead and to get over this idea that you're the same as a man. Yes, you know, all we have to do is look at the yin-yang symbol and, you know, the black, the negative, the feminine movement has a spot of white in it, the masculine. And the masculine portion of the yin-yang symbol has a spot of black in it. We both contain both energetics. Of course we do, because ultimately we're neither male nor female. We're whole beings. And that's what we're striving to become, is whole beings. But to do that, we've got to step up and embrace the feminine nature and shine it and show the men that it's safe to go there. Not only is it safe, it's mandatory if we're going to survive in a nuclear age with all of the with all the aggression and, you know, and immature attitudes and nuclear bombs. That is not a formula for live long and prosper.
No. I'm thinking while you're talking, because this is such a rich conversation, you know, and I have pondered this question myself, and you address it in the book, you know, from a perspective of why, and people may question my question, but why is the feminine so feared? Why is she so feared? Why do we have to keep her down? We being the, you know, whoever we is. And what does the emergence of the divine feminine now, the goddess, mean now? You know, everyone has said this is the year of the feminine, right? And, you know, we got these women in political office, right? And I look around and go, well, what does that mean? And that, of course, you know, with the work I do with people, I get asked that all the time, you know, as a channel is the angel worker, an energy worker, you know, whatever it is I am, a messenger, you know, they're like, Loretta, what is it? What at the practical level of life, what does that look like? And I'm like, wow, we are really, I think, picking our way through that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I just was sitting here getting cold chills when you were asking that question about why is the feminine so feared. The feminine is so feared because she is absolutely ferociously unlimited. Mm. She has no boundaries, no curtailment. She cannot be stopped. She's fierce and wild and chaotic. Now, that's what the entire universe, creation, was birthed out of, that unformed void of potential. And the feminine, I mean, look at Kali energy. Look at Notre Dame burning. Mm-hmm. This is a unstoppable force that is so wild and untamed, lawless, terrifying. You know, on the battlefield, the Maenads, the Amazonian women, for eons, everybody has known that, oh, my God, you get the women on the battlefield, and it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Yes,
because we tap into that untamed, lawless, ruleless place, and we are beyond ferocious. Don't screw with Mama Bear and her cubs. And that is absolutely terrifying to a very structured, rule-bound entity, which the masculine is in its fundamental nature. Chaos and unruliness is the antithesis. It's something that's a scourge. It has to be destroyed. The feminine has to be curtailed, caged, and kept in a box at all costs. Because if she's not, then the structure will fall. And then what's going to happen? We're left with unlimitedness. We're left with wild potential. We're left with everything we possibly can be. But for a maturing species that humanity is, we've had to go into the left-brained, structured, mathematical, Pythagorean, Platonic place where we learn about life, we create science, we create mathematics, we create all these rules and structures. And this is an exploration. Humanity is on, you know, we're the bleeding edge of God. We're the experiment. We're the raw edge of all creation sitting here in these bodies. And so we've come to this very structured, orderly place. And now, if we're not going to collapse inwardly on ourselves and just die a miserable death as a species, we've got to tap back into that outrageous potential that is in us, that creativity, that unlimited power and potential that the feminine represents.
Wow.
But that's why the feminine is so terrifying to the masculine.
That was a beautiful description. I was thinking while you were talking, okay, so then somehow they've been trying to tame or cage that wildness, which just doesn't work in the long run. And then we've kind of been program conditioned or you know, beat into, and these are not completely qualifying statements, into holding ourselves back. You know, like
we've not been kind of programmed and beaten into that. We have been programmed and beaten into that.
It's like, how do we open our hearts? And I have so many women come to me and they're like, I don't even know what to do with a man. I don't know what to do with the masculine, let alone the feminine. Like, I think I'll just shut down, like put a big brick wall in front of my heart and walk around, right? Maybe that will help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, and I mean, I am a walking, talking testimonial to a wounded female who has operated very, very well in a structured masculine society, done really well, and having to now come out of that shell and expose my soft underbelly.
Yeah.
And my sagging belly fat that I was so embarrassed.
Apparently Apollo didn't care, honey.
Apollo didn't give a rat's toot.
I think we could do a lot of healing in the area of body image and, of course, aging, or what does age have to do with it, right? You know, we all have that going on.
Well, you know, the feminine has not only been locked in a box, but, you know, she's been shamed for being her beautiful, beautiful sexual self. And, you know, even in New Age, quote unquote, New Age, that is the old age spirituality, we have a heavy left brain masculine orientation toward our spiritual growth. You know, we've got to stay in, you know, meditation and don't go into your sensual space and don't be sexual. And we still got all this stigma against the body. Yeah. In New Age thinking, it's all about getting out of here and getting to God. Well, of course it's about getting out of here, because getting out of here is so damn uncomfortable, because we've made, you know, living in these bodies a very torturous place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to get out of here. And I spent my whole first 25 years of spiritual work, you know, with my eyes closed, wanting to get out of here. And it's now I'm being driven into my body and into this expression of sensuality and embracing my body, whether it's, you know, curvaceous and gorgeous at 28 or whether it's not so gorgeous at 68. It's like, embrace the flesh. It's the pathway through. It is our doorway. It is our great boon. It is our great opportunity to go within and experience these bodies and finally marry spirit and flesh. But we can only do it by going through the flesh. I mean, what finer, unfortunate picture do we have of that than the whole Jesus on the cross image?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, through he went through the flesh to his resurrection. Well, that's our path as well, not being crucified. But you see, it's just astounding to me, Loretta.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten so lost in this, you know, the feminine is the same as masculine, and the political correctness of I can't be different, and, everybody is the same, and nobody, there is no gender, and things like that. And that is like what you said, that's that going numb place, sweeping all of these issues under the rug and not examining these amazing, moiling energies within us that are seething, trying to break through and be expressed in a healthy, uninhibited fashion. That is, it's just, yeah, we've got so much to address. And, you know, and some of the stuff like aging and sexuality and, oh, I'm not pretty and therefore I'm not valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have not only made sexuality and sensuality wrong, then we've raised it to the epic of, you know, everything that life is supposed to be about in a Western perspective. It's all about sex and flaunting it and la, 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 and it's your greatest expression. And then yet we're shamed about it. Oh, my God, what a formula for emotional catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. There's, what, you know, in your book, you bring out some very poignant areas. And I'm just going to ask you this question. When you say Apollo and Jesus brought a message of sexual equality, what do you mean? And I think we are talking about it, but I'm just pointing out that there's a similarity in message here that many people may not be aware of or have not thought about.
I never understood it. I mean, until Apollo pointed it out to me, that his whole structure of his temples was he had, unlike all the other masculine gods in the pantheon, he had feminine priestesses, not priests, in his temples. The Pythia was the woman who is the prophetess of prophetesses, who guided for 1500 years, guided the entire Western world philosophically, militarily, politically, was a woman. And she was asked, you know, and it was all about the intuitive function flow and the information coming from the void through the feminine voice, through the feminine gateway, and that the masculine could thereby be advised and used. So I didn't realize that until, I mean, you know, I'm having these downloads, for lack of a better word, these conversations that I'm having with Apollo. And I'm writing this story that, much to my shock and dismay and horror, is turning out to be a romance novel.
Right.
Which, I mean, to this day, I mean, I'm still wrestling with admitting that, Loretta, because I'm so ashamed that I wrote, you know, Miss Left Brain, you know, spirituality, ego, and enlightenment has written a romance novel. But that was his whole point.
Yes.
He's like, you've got to embrace the love. You've got to embrace your heart. You've got to embrace your hope, your deepest wounding, your greatest. I mean, I have cougar tendencies. You know, so no wonder I wrote about an older woman falling in love with a younger man. I mean, Apollo appears to be in his 30s, but he's millions of years old. He's an archetype. Of course we fall for the masculine beauty. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. The feminine is beautiful. We have these bodies we want to express through these vehicles fully and unashamedly. And so his whole message was embrace all of it. Be ashamed of none of it. Turn around, face your wounding, both men and women. And so I was very surprised that, you know, he talked about that. And then when I researched and realized that that was how his temples were structured, and it, so that didn't surprise me when he said that he was trying to hold the gateway open of the goddess holding hands with the god when the sky god came in, when the whole Abrahamic religion hit, you know, and became popular and the whole world shifted to the masculine. He was trying to hold the gateway open for Yeshua, who then came in with his partner, Mary Magdalene, who was original, and this really blew me out of the water, but I didn't realize that Yeshua was, he was a feminist. He was all about masculine and feminine equality, the divinity in man and woman, and shining a light on that feminine and masculine equality. He had numerous female disciples. Mary Magdalene was the apostolorum. Mm-hmm. She was the main man. she was his equal. And Apollo told me that, you know, his plan originally was to travel and teach with Mary Magdalene at his side as an equal and show the world who we really are. And that whole opening was hijacked when he was crucified. And which of course sounds, that's the foundation of the plot line of the Below Apollo and Me that runs about what was the plot to bring the downfall of Yeshua and therefore the downfall of the feminine.
Right. And
2,000 years ago.
I don't want to, spoiler alert, so I don't want to give out the thing because a question is, you know, who is invested in keeping humanity unaware of themselves or what's going on? And I'm just going to say, just read the book. I'm having a real kind of an epiphany while you're talking. I'm thinking about this. What did you say, 1,500 years that Apollo was worshipped and the Pythia were listened to? And the founding, you know, Plato's Republic and the founding of the U.S. Constitution, I'm just taking a look at how long-lived that was with Apollo, perhaps representing structure and the feminine representing that creative wildness, like the two of that together. I don't know if we've got like 1 minute. I don't know if you can comment on that, but I feel like I'm getting an epiphany of some kind here. I can't quite put it together. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that is the whole point of coming together.
Yeah.
With the beautiful structure and the intellect of the masculine and the wild freedom and creativity and juicy, fecund potential of the feminine.
Yeah.
You blend those two in balance and you have an unstoppable god and goddess walking on this planet hand in hand.
We need that right now, right here,
right
in this room, right in this country, right in this world. We need that. Oh, I'm so glad your book is here. Where can people find you? Where can they find your book, Kate?
Apollo and Me, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Let me see. They can find me at katemontana.com, and that's Kate with a C. On Facebook, The Real Kate Montana on Facebook. And
real one.
That's where they can find me, the real one.
None of those fake ones. It has been a delight to have you on the show. I feel like we barely tasted the deliciousness of this subject. So I encourage everyone, please go get Apollo and Me. And thank you to The Real Kate Montana for being on my show. And this is the original Loretta Brown. Please love each other, enjoy the pink moon, and be kind. Talk to you next time.